Blog Talk Radio.
Community Development Cooperation. I am so glad that you have stopped by the line today. But before we start, let's have a moment of prayer. Gracious Father, we come this morning just to say thank you. Thank you for what our ears were here this morning. Thank you with the Holy Ghost for dropping our spirit today, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for all the callers that are calling in, dear Heavenly Father. We give you praise, for we give you the glory this morning, dear Heavenly Father. Move Sadie out the way, dear Heavenly Father, and let the Holy Ghost use me, dear Heavenly Father, to bring this across, dear Heavenly Father, on the topic that we have today, dear Heavenly Father. Let others call in and put that input in on the lesson today, dear Heavenly Father. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray, amen, and thank God. I'm going to drink a little something. Keep me from coughing. Well, praise God. Today, our title is Stand for Biblical Principle. You know, never compromise when it is a matter of biblical right or wrong. The Apostle Paul encouraged believers not to judge someone on issues such as what to wear, what to eat, or how they practice their Sabbath. But he was vehement on issues of truth. He faced conflict to defend matters of grace to people who was very attached to the law. You know, first Paul was passionate about what he believed and was willing to stand his ground in support of what he believed. Paul didn't go to Jerusalem because he loved to travel, but Paul was on a mission. Today, are you standing for biblical principles wherever you are, whoever may be listening today? You have an assignment, just like Paul. He was on a mission. All of you that's on the sound of my voice today, you have a destiny. You have an assignment. Never compromise when it is a matter of biblical right or wrong. You know, some people like to debate about the Word of God. Some like to say, well, this is something that, but he left us the Bible to go by, to know what we need to know. And I thank God for that, you know. When we face defeat, matters of grace to people who were very attached to the law. We have laws that we have to follow, just like law of the land. We have spiritual laws that we should, you know. I went over to Galatians 2:1-5, and as I was reading by thinking about this topic today, compromise, when this is a matter of biblical right or wrong or standing for biblical principle, in Galatians 1:5 of chapter 2. Then, verse 1, then 14 years after I went up against Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communication unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but probably to them which were of the reputation, lest I by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because a false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus. You know we have some spies out there, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we give peace by subjection, no, not for an hour, then the truth of the gospel might continue with us. And today, some of my tag words I'm using is circumcise, fellowship, and principle. We stand on principle of the word of God. We don't have to debate with someone if they go against what the word of God say. Just stand on what you have read and what you know and what God have told you, first of all, what his word say. Stand on the biblical principle of God. You know, some of my key words today, like I said, is circumcised. Also, the word designates a non-Jewish person, meaning a Gentile, who spoke the Greek language, which observed Greek custom and observed Greek learning. Because of their worship of many gods, Jews saw Greek as pagans. You know, Jews removed the male foreskin. That's where my first word came in, circumcised. That's a sign of membership in God's covenant community. You know, Jews perform this ritual on all Jewish boy babies, as well as male servant and foreigner. You know, I can bring that down to you today. Most males that are born, their mother have them circumcised. The Bible speak of it. I'm not telling you nothing that the Bible don't say. You know, to better understand, you know, this passage, we need to set the biblical context. You know, in response to opposition from some of the people in the Galatian church, Paul defended his ministry to the Gentiles. He explained that even the leaders in Jerusalem had affirmed his ministry to the Gentile and the truth that the gospel is for all people. Let me say that again. In Jerusalem had been affirmed his ministry, meaning Paul explained that even the leaders in Jerusalem had affirmed his ministry to the Gentile. Just like God has already ministry to whoever is in your midst. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hold on a moment. Someone was trying to get in. Praise the Lord. Excuse me for clicking over. And, you know, the truth is that the gospel is for all people, all walks of life, free from any Jewish rules or ritual. And that's what people got to read. The gospel is for everybody that want it. God wrote it where everybody could understand it. You know, this was an uncompromising truth that led Paul to confront Peter. When Peter's hypocritic action made it distinct between Jews and Gentiles. You know, I want to try to dig a little deeper for more background on this here. And when I read of Paul's tetrance in the midst of adversity, I am reminded of two things. First, Paul was passionate about what he believed and was willing to stand his ground in support of it. And that's what God wants us to do today. You don't have to debate and over anybody or with anybody about the Word of God. The Word of God speaks for itself. He will give us the interpretation, or he will give us someone that would explain it to us better than maybe our fine like mine is doing. You know, Paul didn't go to Jerusalem because he loved to travel. Paul was on a mission. Well, for me, I love to travel, but when God sent me on a mission, I'm going on the mission because he is the one that's head of my life. He the one saved me. He the one sanctified me. He the one filled me with the Holy Ghost. So when he called me out, that means I'm supposed to be ready. I'm supposed to have my full armor on me all ready to fight whatever battle may come in. You know, he went in response to a revelation from God. And when God gives you a revelation, you can't help but obey it. And if you disobey it, you know what can happen. You know, having a change of person's willingness to defend it. You know, like Paul, we should never compromise when it is a matter of biblical right or wrong. And Paul knew what God wanted him to do, and by willingly obeying, he saw the mission of the gospel grow. See, when you follow the instruction of God and what he have told you to do, you will see the manifestation of it. You will see the benefits of what he's telling you to do, where he's sending you. And I was reading about, you know, just the other day on Lot, where God sent him out. He told him, don't take. You got to leave your kin folks. Sometimes you got to leave your folks and go on to do the mission God sent. Sometimes it can be a hindrance to you. Biblical principle, standing for right and wrong. And, you know, a lot of people don't want you to tell them the truth, but you have to speak the truth, even when it hurts. But, you know, it'll be all right, because once they realize what they've been leaving is not true and come into the knowledge of God and the truth, they're going to be glad that they heard you, glad that they understood what you were saying, because a bell had went on in that heart. And we're giving God praise for that today, for standing for biblical principle. You know, even as I dig deeper, they had conflict and the gospel, even in Galatians 2, where we started off at. Paul reported about a conflict between members of the church as more and more. You know, we have conflicts today in the church. If it's not, you know that little cliche, if it ain't one thing, it's another. And, you know, what people got to realize, it's not the building. We are the church. We go to the building to fellowship, like God said, for us to come together. But the church started in us. And if we go to the body of Christ all messed up, just think about the building that you're going to be in. It's going to be messed up. So we got to get our biblical principles straight and right, because we can go in and mess up and mess up somebody else, and we don't want to do that. You know, even in the Galatians 2, here it is talking about the Gentiles were saved. Similar issues were discussed in Jerusalem. And we can go to Acts 15. You have your Bible. You can go at your leisure and read that. You know, the Jews and the Gentiles, the Christians, Peter, Paul, Barnabas, James, and John, perhaps other leaders from the Jerusalem church at that time. You know, the problem they was having was Christian liberty, specifically table fellowship between the Jews and the Gentile Christian. And I know if you read it. Yeah, and the question I would ask you today was, were Gentile Christians required to follow Jewish laws? And if so, what was the solution? You know, faith in Christ is required. Obedience to the Jewish law is not. Faith in Christ is. You know, Paul's focus was on the evangelistic of the Gentile. Peter's focus was on the evangelistic of the Jews. See that? There are two different things right there. See where there are two biblical principles came up in the conflict? Where we standing for the truth. You either standing for right or you're standing for wrong. And if you if you desire to dig deeper, you know, you'll find more in that, even in Luke. You know, I was just thinking, you know, how God would do a thing in your life, how God will come in and change a situation around, things that you've been going through, things that you've been thinking, how God would intervene in these principles of the Word of God. You know, second, God knew what he was doing. God called Paul out of his zealous work of grace. Christ in the spirit of the gospel of grace was the same faithful devotion God sought in the apostle for the advance of his gospel. You know, God used the experience, the heart, and the temperament of people for his kingdom purpose. And that's what God is doing today. He's using experience, the heart of man and woman, and the temperament of people for his kingdom purpose. We're talking about stand for biblical principles today. You know, how is God using your experience? Think about that. Your heart, how is he using your heart today? Your temperament for a kingdom purpose? You know, after Paul's conversion, he became passionate about the faith he held in Christ. Nothing would or could stop him from advancing the cause of Christ into the Gentile world. Perhaps no one demonstrated like Paul a dedication to the gospel, regardless of personal cost. What do you think might happen if more Christians were like Paul in this area? Just think about it. And how would you describe the liberty we have in Christ today? You know, over in Galatians 2, 6, and 10, it says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, mean whatever they were, it make it no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. But they all whom seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. And when you think about it, but contrawise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. You know, for he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. You know, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me. And Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was formed to do. You know, and another key word I was using today in my topic was fellowship. We are to fellowship with one another in Christ. You know, Paul and Jerusalem church's leader shook hands as an expression of fellowship and agreement. Don't you notice? In the body of Christ, even if you meet your brother or sister on the street, you greet them with either a holy kiss or a handshake. Here, that was displayed right there in the Bible, in verse 9 of Galatians. You know, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the right hand was viewed as the hand of strength and blessing. And, you know, when I read that, I was just elated because through the years, I know normally, unless it's somebody left-handed, we always greet and shake somebody's hand with the right hand. But when I read that the right hand was viewed as a hand of strength and blessing. You know, that made my day. That just made me so happy to know all these years, I know we extend our right hand for fellowship, but didn't really know the contents of extending that right hand, which broke it down to friendship, the agreement. You know, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that the right hand was viewed as the head of strength and blessing. So now when I go out, when I shake somebody's hand with my right hand, I know I'm doing it in friendship, in agreement, and the hand of strength and blessing, not only for them, but for myself also. You know, the gesture of shaking the right hand was used to ratify a covenant. And when I read that, my. You see, when we search these scriptures, when we read a little bit more and we talk to others that's a little bit more knowledge in the Word of God, we find out a lot of things that we took for granted or we didn't even know. And that one was, I'll be honest, I didn't know that right hand was the hand of strength and blessing to fellowship and agreement. Now I'm realizing it's a covenant. My. You know, here's Cephas was the Aramaic word translating the Greek word Peter. You know, everyone needs people who believe in them. Those that's on the line today. Do you have people who really, truly believe in you today? You know, children need parents who believe in them. Players need coaches who believe in them. Writers need publishers who believe in them. Pastors need congregations that believe in them. And here Paul needed fellow followers of Christ who believed in him. And that's where it go. It go from the head on down. Pastors need those believe in it. Apostles need those that believe in it. Prophets need those that believe in it. Evangelists need those that believe in it. Teachers, missionaries, we need people that believe in us. Not they. We believe in them all the time, but they never believe in us. Now, that's where we come with stand for biblical principle. Either you're going to stand for the right or you're going to stand for the wrong. You know, here Paul, he had plenty of people who didn't believe in him. Just like us, we have people that don't believe in us. He had come from the other side. You know, we already say, you know, we come from the other side of the track where people are believing in us. Some believe and some don't believe. But we have to believe in others, you all. You know, it's a sad thing for us to sit in the body of Christ. We as true believers, we are the church. And if you're going to the building, and you're not believing what the man of God or the woman God is saying, why are you going? And because they're not saying the same thing that you thought they should say, God might be conveying a message to you that particular day that you need. And if you didn't need it that day, before the week is out, you're going to need it. We today are talking about stand for biblical principle. You know, when I think about Paul, he was also, when he was saying, he was the Jewish chief prosecutor of everything Christians before God miraculously changed him into service for the king. Here, Paul had been judging, and he had to come back, rectify that, ask God for forgiveness. Wait a minute, I've been judging these people. You are the judge. I've been killing, talking about the Christian. But here, when he had an encounter with God, here, this miraculous, call him into service for the kingdom. You'll find that in Acts 9. You know, Paul may have felt at times that he had more enemies than friends in the church. I know a lot of you all, and we all have felt that way. His work of reaching the Gentiles was unpopular at best. To some, it was a cause for haters. You know we got them haters. Dismissals. You know we got them like the dismissals out of the body of Christ. And even a sentence of death, a lot of them want to kill her with their mouth. It don't have to be a knife or a gun, but you know, some church folk say they saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost will kill you with that tongue in their mouth. We're talking about principles today. Stand for biblical principle. You know, that yet this inclusion of the Gentiles changed Christianity from a geographic region religion to a worldwide Jesus follower who had once been primary Jews now became more and more Gentile, reaching out to all people. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to reach out to all people, not just one class of people or one nation of people. He wants us to reach out just like he did. He reached out to everybody. He didn't have no pickers and choosers. No, I, you, this, you, and this. No, not you, because you ain't got this, because you don't have. No, God reached out to each and every one of us. He reaching out today. For those that may be listening on the line, those that may come to the archives later on. You know, when you think about it, we once had been Jews that now became more and more Gentiles, reaching out to all people. You know, God used men like Barnabas, James, Cephas, name was changed to Peter, and John to encourage Paul in his work. You know, one could question if his ministry would have been as successful as it was without their belief in him. And at this time, I'll pause a few minutes. If anybody on the line would like to come on and talk a little bit, it may be some things you would like to share that I haven't brought up yet on Stand for Biblical Principle. Excuse me, I'm about to sneeze. I'm trying to cut it off. Praise the Lord. You know, excuse me. You know, a momentous decision came from their meeting on these men. You know, these church leaders gave to Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. That was another thing. When you join various bodies of believers, because you're the church already, but with you in the building and you give the pastor your right hand of fellowship, when you did it, you didn't realize what you're doing. You didn't even know the meaning of it. But I told you earlier about the right hand is viewed as friendship and agreement, as a covenant, as the hand of strength and blessing. For some of you on the line that may not know, I read that myself, and I was so elated on it, reading that. Used to think about the people give the pastor or the apostle or the bishop or whoever's in charge their right hand. Okay, what do that represent? It's a covenant that they have made with the body of Christ, Jesus, and that person. You know, when you think about it, the biblical right and wrong. Today, I'm learning biblical right, and I'm learning biblical wrong. Today, me, myself, that's why I decided to do this show today, because I found a lot of things that enlightened me. And, you know, the church leaders gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, thus endorsing their mission of sharing the gospel with the uncircumcision, the Gentile, just as they had endorsed Peter, that focused in evangelizing the circumcision, which was the Jews. You know, never compromise when it is a matter of biblical right or wrong. When you think about that, let's face it, we tend to work more effectively when we have encouragement. A lot of us need to be encouraged. You'll be surprised. A lot of people want to do things. It's not for fear. But people have ridiculed them. People have talked about them as believers in Christ. And some of them tend to have that fear. And God certainly wants us to encourage others. When has God used you in your life to encourage you? Perhaps you should take some time to let them know you appreciate their support. Whom are you encouraging today? Just think about it. Have you tried encouraging somebody today or yesterday? You know, what role does encouragement play in your efforts to stand for biblical principles today? Think about it. Simon and Peter, perhaps as much as more than some of other disciples, was a power broker in the early church. He was in Jesus' inner circle with James and John. Are you in Jesus' inner circle today? Peter was the one who stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. You'll find that in Matthew 14:22-33. He was ready to care for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll find that in John 18:1-14. You can read it at your leisure. You know, Jesus has said it was on Peter's kind of faith he would build his church. My. You'll find that in Matthew 16:18. You know, of course, We know Peter denied knowing Christ, but think, but Jesus restored him. You may have denied knowing Christ or someone, but you can be restored. Just like you'll find that in John 21, 15, and 19. And Peter became one of the dominant influence in the first century church. Paul was brave to stand up to Peter, not merely because Paul was bold or stubborn or because he liked to argue. Paul was willing to stand his ground for one reason. I saw that they was walking not upright according to the truth of the God, but we must never compromise when it is a matter of biblical right or wrong. We shouldn't debate and have misunderstanding and confusion when it comes to the word of God. You read what the word say, they read what the word say. If you interpret it one way and they interpret it the other way, that's why we are talking today. Stand for biblical principle, right or wrong. You know, Jesus Christ never wavered in his stand for the truth. And his presentation was always emerged in his love for people. You know, those principles also show God, should guide our lives today. Paul's mission was to defend and promote the gospel, just like us. Our mission and assignment is to promote the gospel. It's not to debate it, it's to do what God says. And when we start following God's principle and the spirit of truth on what God has said, we won't go wrong. But we go to Aaron and Aaron doing what somebody else said that did not have a connection with God, did not hear from God. You know, Paul's mission was to defend. It was his life, his calling, his purpose. Do you know what your calling is today? Do you know what your purpose is today? You know, nothing and no one could stop him from defending the truth of the gospel. You know, the truth that salvation is freely available to all people through Jesus Christ. You know, our lives also should reflect that purpose. Peter, of all people, should never have been willing to extend grace to the uncircumcised. He had been restored in his relationship with Christ. How many of you all have been restored with your relationship with Christ today? You know, here, he had received enormous grace. You'll find that in Acts 10. Peter encountered Cornelius, a Gentile, an event in which God taught him to embrace a Gentile who was a fellow believer. You know, Paul called Peter on the carpet. How many times we did that? We done called or somebody done called us on the carpet, challenging him in his treatments of the Gentile. Peter had refused to continue to have table fellowship with the Gentiles after other Jewish church leaders arrived from Jerusalem. Because of Peter's influence, his hypocrites was having an impact on the other Jews, including Barnabas. Paul knew that refusing to address the issue would not only be wrong, it would have lasting implications for the message of grace. Today we're talking about stand for biblical principle. You know, choosing to challenge someone publicly or privately is a difficult decision. Leaders normally handle issues of correction in private. And as a last resort, it sometimes may be necessary to confront someone in a public setting. Usually when that happens, the church, the opportunity for restoring that person to the fellowship of the church in the future, least significant. You know, in this case, however, Paul chose to challenge Peter in front of everyone so that everyone would know that the church would not tolerate hypocrites of Peter's logistic approach. You know, at this point, we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit leadership to guide us to do the right things in the right way at the right time for biblical principle today. Biblical right or wrong. You know, what does standing your ground need to happen publicly when it need to happen privately? Only you know what the situation that's going on. You know whether it should be handled publicly or if it should be privately. And a lot of people get those two confused. A lot of people want to throw out their things out there in the public when it should have been private. That's what we're talking about. Stand for biblical principle, right and wrong. It's a right way to do things, and it's a wrong way you don't do things. That will cause friction. You know, when you think about it, in following leadership of the Holy Spirit, Paul stood his ground and did not compromise. He was able to convince church leaders that God's grace extends to all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. You know, like Paul, we must never compromise when the issue is a matter of biblical right and wrong. You know, we are to knowing you should know and none negotiate the areas in which you refuse to compromise on. You know, the Bible is God's word, all of it. God created everything. All people have value. Only Jesus brings salvation. Heaven is real. How do you know whether you're standing your ground on biblical principle or personal preference? You have to just live it out. We must never compromise when it is a matter of biblical right or wrong. So are you willing to stick your neck out for issues that are a matter of biblical right or wrong? Consider areas of your life where you need to confront conflict. It could be in a friendship, your family, or a work situation. It may be in the church where you know an issue of biblical truth is being compromised, and we see that every week in different places that we go. It could be where the gospel of grace is being shunned for a practical of legalness. You may be the one God used to confront the conflict and steer people back to truth. So you want to have the right relationship with God. You want to be in the right standing with God. If that avenue should open up for you, you will be ready. You have to make sure your purpose is pure and grounded in love. But don't be afraid to stand for truth. Be an agent of change for the Lord. This is what faithful followers of Christ do. You know, the goal of any confrontation is to be redemptive. If that truth is being compromised or ignored, we should do what is necessary to correct the situation. We should do this in a way that doesn't simply condemn the other person's action, but instead lead him or her back to the truth and a closer walk with Jesus Christ. And I know today, coming to the close of my broadcast today, Stand for Biblical Principle, you'll probably say, well, how should I stand my ground? Well, you know what? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you three words that you're going to start to stand your ground. Pray, pray, and pray. Asking God to give you insight into the situation. Then depend on the Holy Spirit guidance of the gospel for which you are standing your ground. Thirdly, stand your ground, but present the truth in love. We want to always make sure we're showing that other person love. We can agree to be disagree. We can disagree to be agree. Biblical principle, right or wrong. That is the lesson that I have for today. I give God the praise and I give him the glory today for what he has accomplished on this line. I want to thank all my guests that have come on today to stand for biblical principle. At least you read the title of the lesson. So that means you standing for biblical principle, or you coming over on God's side where you asking for forgiveness on some things that have occurred. We want to give God the praise today, and we're going to give him the glory. And until next week, be blessed. Bye-bye.